as we see him in his majesty and power. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. Lead us as we worship and glorify you in your word. You are our God. Teach us through the power of your Holy Spirit as we praise you with our whole heart. Fill us with the oil of joy as we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today our focus is going to be on Psalms 8. And it's a short psalm, it's just 9 verses. And it's a song of praise to the Creator. And I want you to picture David looking up at the night sky and possibly having a campfire and laying on his back, looking up at the beautiful stars and the moon that was shining so brightly. Each of us, when we look at what God has done as creator, you know, even in the mornings, I'll go out and I'll sit on my screened-in porch and have my coffee and hear the birds singing and watching the sun come up through the trees. It is glory. It is beautiful. And God is greatly to be praised. So let's read Psalms 8, 1 through 8. And if you're looking in your, you know, own Bibles rather than just at the screen, keep your finger there. We will look at other scriptures, but we will always be going back to this psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This psalm has one of the best known verses in the Bible. What is man that you are mindful of him? We revel in the glory of God as he manifests himself in us as we magnify him and all that he is and all that he has done. He is completely good, completely wise, and perfectly just. We know God, not just by his attributes, but also in observing him in the works of his hands. He is the creator artist who has brought forth the breathtaking beauty of his creation. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Which it informs us that we're without excuse when it comes to knowing God. I mean, just look at the beauty and the design of the flowers, the butterflies, birds, as well as the mountains and the valleys and the wonderful waterfalls. They're so powerful and strong. Think of the streams and the oceans and the rivers and all of the life that we can see. And we can look now at the new growth of the seed that has just recently been planted in the ground and is coming forth. And to me, that is a reason to praise. So verse 20 in Romans chapter 1 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." There is no excuse not to know him. When we were just recently at our son's and we went to the beach by the Atlantic, and you see the power of those waves and the power of the water as people can ride the waves, which our kids seem to love to do, scares me. But it holds the huge ships. It is a wonder. So when we can look at the marvel of the heavens and the earth, we can see that God is revealed in his majesty of both earth and heaven. So let's just take a moment and look at some facts that are available to us through scientific discovery. We know that a beam of light travels at 186,000 miles per second, which is about 7 times around the earth. It takes 8 minutes for a beam of light to go from the sun to the earth. And that same beam travels almost 6 trillion miles, which scientists call a light year. 8 billion light years from Earth is just halfway to the edge of the known universe. Within the universe, there are 100 billion galaxies, each with 100 billion stars on average. Just these statistics alone are beyond our human comprehension. Just think, beyond the vastness of the universe is the vastness of our God. Hallelujah. Just, I feel like I can't even say so small when I think of all that God has created and done. And yet we think we know better, don't we? I know I do. I've had to repent all week for thinking about what President Trump is going through and wondering why God's allowing it. But God gives us the victory, and the victory's in Jesus. The victory's in our prayer. We just stand fast and believe. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Part of our worship is the acknowledgement deep within ourselves of how infinitely greater God is than we are. And this requires a humble and trusting heart, the heart of a child. Children frequently recognize Jesus for who he was. Let's look at Matthew 21, 15 through 16. Matthew 21, 15 through 16. This scripture is based simply on Jesus' words and actions. And they knew that Jesus was Messiah. The children knew, even though the religious leaders did not. They even challenged Jesus to intervene. But Jesus quoted Psalms 8, 2. So let's just read what Matthew said that Jesus shared. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, 'You have ordained praise'?" We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 1:27. You know, out of the mouth of the weakest, according to age and helplessness, babe and nursing infants, God ordains strength and perfect praise. And this scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:27 is one of the most fundamental aspects of God's display of his power through human weakness. I don't know about you, but I feel plenty weak most of the time. If it wasn't for the Lord, where would any of us be? So verse 27, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." So we must recognize that Jesus is the Messiah God had promised his people long ago. God's word of love and mercy is anything but foolishness. It is the power and wisdom of God, because it is only through Jesus that we can get to know the Father. Let's take another look at Psalms 8, verse 2. "From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger." So praise silences the enemy, whether you are a child or an adult. Praise and adoration of God destroys our enemies, and the plans of the avenger are thwarted. You know, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But if you can praise God in the midst of circumstances, he has lost the battle. Our Lord proved this when his son entered the human race as a helpless infant for the purpose of eventually dying in our place. Jesus rose from the dead and now sits in the place of honor alongside God the Father. Turn to Luke chapter 19, 37 through 40. Luke chapter 19. Jesus is considered to be the master teacher. He is the greatest teacher the world has ever known. He knew how to deliver lessons that captivated the people as they hung on every word. He was telling them the exact things they longed for and that we long for today. Even his enemies were impressed by what he had to say, but they always questioned his authority. Jesus always had a way of asking a question to answer their question. It always caused them to squirm a little bit, didn't it? Let's read from Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." How do we respond? First, we know that God's sovereignty is over all things, both in nature and in man. He created each one of us for a special purpose in his mind. God is eternal, and he has set eternity in the hearts of man. God simply is. He's always been there, and he always will be. Every attribute of God defines who God is, and his love for us is eternal. Which brings us back to Psalms 8, verses 3 and 4, which makes us look with wonderment and awe. "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man, that you care for him." The eternal God created us to be in relationship with him, and he has fashioned each one of us in his own image so that we could reflect the light of his glory to others. Like God, we have the ability to love and care for other people. And we also, he put in us a creativity. We have things within us that we want perfect or we want to design or do. And I'm thinking of those beautiful rocks that have the cross on them that Ray works on with such love. And each of us have a quality within us that God has put there. So each one of us has an expectation of eternity. The question is, will you spend eternity with him or without him? There's only one way to know. We need a relationship with God's Son, Jesus, who was born to die in our place, completely paying the heavy cost of sin. Psalms 8, 5 and 6. We have the promise that is made first to Christ Jesus, and then to those who believe it. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hand. You put everything under his feet. We're going to look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1:1-4. You know, the writer of Hebrews applied this passage to Jesus. And it opens with a powerful statement of Jesus' deity. And the author quoted from the Psalms to verify to Jewish readers that Jesus is no mere human, but is indeed the Messiah, the very Son of God. So Hebrews 1:1-4. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. So what's the writer here in Hebrews, in these just four little verses as he begins, what do they tell us? Well, I came up with eight things. And the first two are found in verse 2. Jesus was appointed heir of all things. And secondly, he is the one through whom God the Father made the universe. And in verse 3, there are five things. And five is the number of grace. So he embodies the radiance of God's glory. And two, he exactly represents God's being. And three, he keeps all things integrated and functioning. And four, his death purifies us from our sins. And number five, he sat down in the place of honor next to God the Father. And the verse 4 tells us that Jesus is superior and more excellent than the angels, as he created them. So how can we not declare, as the psalmist declared in Psalms 8, verse 9, as he closes with the same exuberant praise that he began with. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth. We are reminded in this wonderful psalm of worship that God wants us, like the children, to offer childlike trust and to worship him with a humble and open spirit. He has planted in each one of us eternity, and it is a deep longing to be with him forever. Let's turn to John 3:16-18. A lot of times we just quote verse 16, but it's important that we get the full gist. God offers this eternal destination through his wonderful Son, Jesus, who gave his life so that we might be brought in back into fellowship with God. So John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And then in John 5:24-30. You know, I never noticed this before, but I felt Holy Spirit bolded this to me. Do you realize Jesus in John 5 talks about the rapture? And then he follows it in just a couple of verses later, talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Wow. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear him will live. To me, this is a picture of the rapture, because not only do the dead hear, but we who are alive and who hear, we get to go just like that to be with him. And for verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. That's pretty scary. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Philippians 2:9-11 will be our closing scripture. Do you know him? Is he your Lord and Savior? Beginning at verse 9 of Philippians 2. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The question is not, will you acknowledge Jesus as Lord? But rather, when will you acknowledge Jesus as Lord? Many of us have thought of him as our Savior, but have you made him Lord of your life? We can do it now, accepting his payment for our sin and living in grateful obedience to his will. Or we can do it after it's too late and pay the penalty for our own sin, which is in eternal hell. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. I want to live my life for you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may serve you in the fullness of your love. In the name above every name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So as we take time to pray as a family today, praise God for what he has done in your personal life and what he's going to do in the future. And I liked what is said in the bulletin. Please continue to pray for God to work through Friendship Church to shine the light of Jesus in our community and area. Thank you for your prayers, because they are vital for God's ministry to grow and bear fruit. So pray for God to do a mighty work here. Amen. If anyone wants to come to the front, we would be happy to pray for you also. Otherwise, you are welcome to pray as a family.